Hey everybody, welcome back. Another episode of Last Christian. This is our Bible study program weekly. And we are all the way up to Genesis chapter 4. We're just rocking right along. It's going to be a fun day today. We're going to talk about Cain's descendants and a little bit about his story going on in Genesis chapter 4. But we first need to pray into the show and get JD on here so he can ask all those questions.
I'm here, David, and I'm looking forward to the study today. I didn't really know exactly where we're going to go in Genesis today, but I'm ready. I'm ready to learn something.
It's a crapshoot, right? For sure. You can go anywhere. But why don't you pray us into our show?
Oh, absolutely. Father, we come to you and ask, please, for your direction and help us to present this in such a way that everyone out there will receive the message, and that one person we're looking for, that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture, actually does that today. We would love that more than anything else. That would be the greatest reward you could possibly give us. Father, thank you for giving us this time. Thank you for this teaching. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, the first thing I always ask when, you know, looking at it is, okay, why is this in here in the Bible, right? So that's my question to you right now. Why do we have the lineage of Cain in the Bible?
Well, now I may be wrong, because I'm just going by what I believe, and that is that some way or another this is going to translate over into Jesus, the descendants all the way down to him. Maybe I'm completely off base there.
Well, yeah, I mean, in some way it does, but then you have to ask yourself why. And like Michael Heiser always said, if it's weird, it's important. So we have to figure out why is this here? You know, because we really don't see Cain afterwards, because it was the descendants of Seth that went all the way down to Noah, and that was, you know, what made it through the flood.
Yeah,
so clearly all of Cain's descendants are all wiped out.
Yeah, you're right. Looking at it from that point of view, now you've really got my interest piqued, because I'm trying to think, okay, what could possibly be the reason for this? And the first thing that comes to my mind is the story of Cain and Abel. That's the first thing that comes to my mind, to give us an example of things that like that. But other than
that's
David,
what brought about that.
Other than that, you're going to have to teach me. I don't know.
Oh, you know what? I don't even know. Let's just go look at it.
Okay.
I have no clue. But we have this. Cain and Abel, right? Cain was first, so he represents the first man, and then the second man died. And then we got a replacement called Seth. So I see all of that ties in with it. You know, the first man, now the whole picture. Hey, the first man was there, but he was evil, and he killed the second man, which was, and then there was a replacement. But it was the first Adam, and the last Adam is Jesus, right? So I wonder how that all correlates. And then there's the new man, that's Seth, and then that, you know, everything comes down through there. There's always some kind of picture in there for some reason. Right? We have to just go to the ancient people and see what they thought.
Okay.
Let's at least parse this all out.
Right? Okay.
So they were known for various accomplishments, okay? And I think we went over last week, we talked a little bit about their similarity in the names.
Okay? I don't remember talking about the similarity in names. I remember talking about, you know, maybe I missed it, but I don't remember that.
Maybe I'm thinking too much. I don't know. So let's talk about that now.
Okay.
All right, so Cain, his first son was actually called Enoch.
Okay.
But it's not the Enoch that we know of that wrote the book.
Yeah.
Which is why Jude says Enoch the seventh from Adam.
Oh, okay.
When he says that, because there's this Enoch here. Cain's first son is called Enoch. So if we look at him, Cain's first son Enoch, it basically, Cain's like, I'm going to build a city. I'm going to name it after Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the name means dedicated or initiated, means, you know, teaching too. Mm-hmm. So the dedication basically reflects Cain's desire to establish his own legacy.
Okay.
You know, from his past. So he's trying to build up, oh crap, you know, I'm in the wilderness, like that picture behind me. And then I'm going to go build a city, and I'm going to name it after my son so it could, you know, have posterity. Yeah. So he's trying to build his own, you know, legacy, if it were.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to get past that mark on his head, right?
Yeah.
And
that's where we were last week. We went mainly with the mark thing, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I have his lineage in my notes. I guess we just didn't get to it.
Probably not. Probably so, because of my questions.
Yeah, probably. So, but the city of Enoch represents the urban development. So here's, it's a city. And we think, well, you know, in our minds, we always have this thing, you know, because of the Sunday school books. There he is. He's wearing the goat skins. Mm-hmm. And that was it. No, they apparently knew how to build things. He built a whole city.
Yeah.
And he didn't build it in a day. So he took some time. And, you know, they lived 900 years back then. Yeah. So he had a little time to build it.
Yeah.
And so it was also symbolizing humanity's advancement. So that's interesting. Now he's trying to build something outside of God.
Okay,
now, if we look in the book of Hebrews.
You know my mind and my mouth. I got to ask the question, okay? I've always wondered how come people live to be 900 years old in the first part of the Bible, and then now we're lucky to make it to 100. And
that's a long story. We can get into that.
Yeah, the only thing I can come up with, and again, maybe I'm totally off base here, the only thing I can come up with is that God wanted the earth to be populated, and the best way that he could populate it is to keep people alive a long time. Does that make any sense at all?
Well, no.
Thanks for the direct answer there, but I appreciate it. Go ahead.
I mean, it's at least a thought that we can examine, but just after the study, yeah, that's... If I had no other thoughts, that's the first thing we would look at.
Okay. All right, I'm done. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that off air. Go ahead, David.
No, we can jump into that. It's actually a really good question, because I just know, and it's like I keep forgetting that. Okay, most people don't know this,
like
but
me.
The Book of Jubilees, Enoch is portrayed a little bit differently from the righteous Enoch of Seth's line. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they actually draw it out in Jubilees. And there's other writings that suggest that he was more of an initiator of earthly, worldly cities rather than being devoted to God.
Mm.
Okay, so we see the two different sides, and we see the difference of where man is going all through Cain's descendants. You know, he just right from the beginning, it's just his works, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Here's my fruit. I don't want to sacrifice anything. I just want to do it my way.
Yeah.
Do it my way. And, you know, here we are back in New York again with Frank Sinatra doing it his way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the legacy that humans without God, and all of us actually, and then it's not until he saves us that we say, you know what? You own me now. I think I'll do it your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
So it symbolizes mankind's efforts to control everything apart from God's guidance. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right. So back to the whole 900 years. All right, let me give you a few insights here. Well, when they ate the forbidden fruit, as we say, what was the terms and conditions of the contract on the forbidden fruit? In the day you eat thereof,
you shall surely die.
Right. So people are like, okay, well, how come he didn't die that day? Which is a valid question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on one side of that, because, you know, Hebrew is multi-layered and God is even more multi-layered. Mm-hmm. He did die that day, but initially it was a spiritual death.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also talking about a physical death. And what most people don't realize is that when God says one day is as a thousand years and a thousand years is as one day, that's exactly what he meant.
Right.
Okay. It's a microcosm of mm-hmm. all of Earth's history. Mm-hmm. So when we see 6 days of creation and then one day for rest, that's precisely what we see in thousands of years. Okay. It was 6,000 years ago mm-hmm. that the Earth was created. All of creation was put into place 6,000 years ago, and we are about to step into that Sabbath day, that final rest right. day.
Right.
And that's that 1,000 years when Jesus will rule on the Earth, mm-hmm. and the Earth will rest. Mm-hmm. So he will look at everything and will say, oh, this is good. So mm-hmm. it's all part of the bigger picture, which is why they had to die within that 1,000 years.
Okay.
You notice none of them lived longer than that.
Right. Yeah,
the oldest recorded one was Methuselah, 969.
Yeah, and I'm going to assume that was it, right? I mean, the longest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's, obviously it's, we didn't know everybody. There's,
right. I just assumed that. I just assumed that if there's somebody to live longer, it would have been noted some kind of way. Maybe I'm off base on that, but you know.
Well, I think it's the longest noted one for a reason, because Methuselah basically means his death will bring, and it's implying the judgment. Mm. So Enoch, when he had Methuselah, Enoch knew the whole story. The angels, mm-hmm. Fallen angels, they came down. They were mm-hmm. talking with him. God said there's going to be a flood, mm-hmm. and this is what's going to happen. I'm going to destroy everything. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want you to name your son Methuselah, because when he dies, that's the day I'm bringing the judgment. Yeah, now, he was born. Now, imagine 969 years later, the prophecy comes true. Mm. Okay, so, but he did speak it, and he mm-hmm. named him that on purpose. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. But he is the longest living man that's recorded, because God's bringing a judgment, and he shows you, I'm going to give you the longest time.
Yeah.
In his mercy, he's the longest one. In other words, mm-hmm. he's giving you a little more time.
Right.
To receive the Lord. He's really being quite generous. And so no one can say, hey, you didn't give me enough time for this. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay.
Yep, so it's clearly I gave you 969 years. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's why they lived that long. But men were designed to just live eternally. But mm-hmm. then when we broke the contract.
Adam and Eve would have never died had they right. followed. And of course, now this every time I say something like that, I know somebody out there says, I guess God was surprised by this. No, he wasn't surprised by it. He knew this was going to happen, but, he had to let it play out, as you say.
Everything in the middle because you know what's going to happen? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we know what's going to happen in this election, but we still have mm-hmm. to go through it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Same thing. A little bit of politics for you. That's always fun and exciting. So that's where we were. And that's why it was within that 1,000-year period, because he said, in that day that you mm-hmm. eat thereof, you shall surely die. Mm-hmm. Now, the mechanics of it are a little bit different. Remember, they were all before the flood. Okay. Mm-hmm. And before the flood, you have a completely different atmosphere. All right. Number one, good reason to believe. It was a canopy that filtered out all the ultraviolet radiation that created a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, which is what they use to heal people nowadays. If you got some cancer or some sickness, and they put sports figures in there and mm-hmm. get them well.
All right, David, hang on with me for just a second. I've got an issue here. So what I'm going to mm-hmm. do is I'm going to put you full screen for a minute, mm-hmm. and I'm going to let you talk about this until I get back, which mm-hmm. You shouldn't have any problem talking about that.
All right. So there was a canopy that filtered out the ultraviolet radiation, and it also it was created a pressure. So now you have a hyperbaric chamber, and you got high pressure forcing more oxygen. So your body just kind of, you know, healed faster and lived longer. And then that our bodies were really strong. And that's what happened. The fallen angels, the watchers, came down, and they actually would see that, hey, the daughters of men, they were fair. That's what it says. So they were good looking, and they wanted to be part of that. And when they did that, the bodies were able to handle all the Nephilim, the Nephal, the hybrids that were coming out. So God in his mercy, after all this was going on, it says, if you read the book of Enoch, there was actually became three different races of them, and they all started to eat each other because they're just evil. There was no reason for them to do anything righteous because they were half demons, basically, or they were half fallen angel, and then they were known as demons. So now we have all these races, and they're all trying to kill themselves, and God's like, I'm going to limit their days, and it was out of his mercy. So he basically said, okay, I'm going to break down the ecosystem. So he breaks down the earth. He cracks it open. The fountains of the deep break open. All the water comes out, melts his canopy. That's what it says. You know, the windows of heaven were open. All that water came down. That's why it flooded the earth. And then the earth cracked and it expanded. And hell expanded because he had to put up all these half-breeds. They were new demons, and he had a place to put them. Hell hath expanded itself. So the earth is actually a little bit bigger now than it was. Okay, not more mass, but just expanded a little bit because hell expanded in the center of it. And that's where all the water eventually seeped down into. So, but with that ecosystem, they didn't have to eat meat back then either, because we remember every green herb was their food, and plants were a little bit different back then, and they carried all of the protein because they had a different ecosystem too. So everything was different back then. Men were much bigger, okay? And they lived much longer, were much healthier. Noah even had a book of herbs for healing. And so in his mercy, he dumbed down our DNA. And now our DNA is not strong enough to handle these demons.
Yeah.
Okay? Which is why they're trying to manipulate our DNA.
Yeah.
That's why we have CRISPR technology. That's why we have these shots that we could talk about now, because we're not going to put it on YouTube.
Right.
mRNA means, they named it Moderna, modify your RNA, Moderna. That's why they named it
that. Yeah.
And they're trying to do that because the abyss is about to be open that has all these demons, and they're trying to figure something out because our bodies just aren't strong enough to actually live out. You see what happens if someone demon possessed, they get their bodies get destroyed.
Oh, man. Yeah. I didn't really believe that people got demon possessed for years. I just thought, you're just talking, some insane idiot just gone crazy. But people still do get demon possessed. I mean, that was an awakening for me at one time.
Yeah, they absolutely do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's all part of it. I mean, part of their MO is to destroy your brain so it can't think right, so they can just take over your body.
Yeah, which is what they're putting into those COVID vaccines and stuff, is to mess you up pretty bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're doing that. And I mean, there's even documented evidence all over the place that people's personalities have changed after that. And not to mention all the
deaths,
immense amount of deaths that, we don't know why everyone's dying suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see what has changed. But that's, here we are. And they're trying to experiment. They're trying to do whatever they can to try and get humans to a point where they can handle the demons coming in and taking over these bodies, because they can't make their own bodies, right?
Yeah.
So, and that brings us right up to the mark of the beast. Now you wonder, well, how can this be? How can someone, if they take this mark, how can they not be saved anymore? It's because it's literally impossible, because the mark has more implications than, hey, it's just a, an X on your forehead. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more than that. If you read the passages, it's literally changing your DNA because they want it. Look up, you know, you people want to look something up. Look that up, third strand DNA. And they're like, oh, it can heal you and it'll repair everything, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm, it's Nephilim DNA. Well, you change your DNA, you're not human anymore. If you're not human anymore, you don't fit the contract that Jesus' blood paid for humans. And so you don't fit the bill. You literally cannot get into heaven.
Well, I know I attended a Bible study one time when they were talking about this particular topic and saying that, you know, to change the DNA, people that science was conditioning people to, you know, if we do this, you're going to live 10 more years or you'll live another 50 years. I think they used examples of like a jellyfish or something. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years that they live. And so we're going to change your DNA. We're going to put that something from that thing,
right? They're going to, you know, mix them together
into your DNA to where your life expectancy is much greater. But don't worry, because by the time that that starts to run out, we will have developed more where we can extend you more. So it, you know, it just becomes an issue of man playing God. That's really what it comes down to.
And you can see it. It talks about that, Enoch, and even the corrupted, when it talks about they're corrupting the animals, mm-hmm. that's what they meant. They were crossbreeding the animals. And mm-hmm. they even demonstrated how they do it. If we take 200 of these and then pair them, there's going to be some that actually are viable. And then we'll take them and then we'll do it again. Mm-hmm. And they were mixing the DNA of different species when God says, no, you'll produce after its kind. Mm-hmm. But they were trying that. And you can see that in all the Egyptian stuff. They got dog-headed people and bird-headed people.
Mm-hmm.
They were all Nephilim.
Yeah.
And if you look at some of the pictures, some of them were tall as the palm trees.
Yeah.
And they got the little people over there giving them baskets. Oh, isn't that cute? It's a kid. No, look at it. It's a full-grown man.
It's a full-grown person. Yeah. I know, we're not going into Genesis 6, I don't think, today, but
not yet.
But when we get there, I'm going to just go out on a limb here and say that's not going to be a one-time teaching. That's going to take some time to go through Genesis 6.
Yeah, well, the whole reason we only see one verse on that is the sons of God saw the daughters of men and they were fair and they had, you know, they gave birth to giants. You only see that one verse because it's fully described in so many other places that it's just, oh, you know this story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember this story. Boom. And then everybody knows the story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they know the full story. Mm-hmm. That's why it's not elaborated on in the Bible. You do see references to it. Yeah. And it says even after that, like Goliath. Goliath and his four brothers were all Anakim, which stem from one of Noah's grandsons reading the book that he wasn't supposed to read on the tablets and then start doing all this enchanting. And he got, you know, he became a Gibberim, it says in Nimrod too. So, yeah, there's a lot to that.
Okay.
But he dumbed us down on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
This way he can give us time. So he kept us out of the garden so we didn't eat the tree of life. That was merciful. Okay.
Yes.
He made us live a lot less. Mm-hmm. That was merciful. This way, you know, the demons can't come back and take us over again until the Messiah comes and fixes everything.
Yeah, which is the answer to my question in the earlier part of the show. Yep. That's perfect explanation
that's
for
why
it.
We lived so long.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because we were designed to. Here's the cool thing. Now, when he comes back, he restores all that and he locks the devil up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means, right?
Yeah.
We're going back to pre-flood civilization.
Yeah. Yeah.
It means everything's going to be huge again.
Uh-huh.
And people will live right through the whole thousand-year millennium. And
we'll be helping out with that situation.
Yes, we will have our new bodies at that point, and then we will be saying, go over there, you do this, you do that, and we can go to the beach and have big trees and cool things, and I played golf for 10,000 years, and, you know, things like that. We'll have the people that live on Earth will actually have the same bodies that they had back then. I think they estimate the average man was over 7 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
The average one. And some of the bigger ones, you know, the Enoch describes him as 3,000 L's, which would actually work out to be about 450 feet. Ow. So that might have been a mistranslation. However, the Titans just happen to be 450 feet. If you look at the Greek mythology. So I'm not throwing it out completely, but I think it might have meant 300 L's, which would be 45 feet, which would still be huge.
Yeah, it'd still be huge.
But doable. And then we can see it. If you guys want to look online, you see Mud Fossil University. He's a crazy old dude, but he found stuff all over the place where giant skeletons. He said, look at this. This is a skeleton. This is a liver over here. It turned to a rock. Here's a brain. Look at this rock. And he shows rocks all over the planet that look like giants. And they're in one position or another. Mm-hmm. That just kind of got buried by the flood. And he's like, look at this thing. It's huge. Uh-huh. He's actually really interesting. He might be out there on a few things, but he's got some really good points. He's worth listening to, at least.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. What was the name of that again?
Mud Fossil University.
Okay. I'm going to take a look at that later. Okay.
Yeah, if nothing else, he's interesting to watch.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but that's why he basically dumbed us down so the demons couldn't take over our bodies again. But now they're trying with technology, which is why that, you know, it's only been the last 100 years that technology has done this. How come we didn't do it 500 years ago? Well, because it's the end of the age and they're like, oh, crap, we got to hurry up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's basically the crux of why they live 900 years. Okay. He says, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die.
Yeah.
And one day is as 1,000 years. And people say, oh, that, here's what annoys me. People don't really read, okay? They say, oh, it means that God time doesn't mean anything to God. Well, of course it does. It's exactly specific in everything.
Time. Yeah.
He's specific to the day on everything. And we'll get into that in the second half.
Okay.
But in the meantime, before the Nephilim come over and take over your body and stuff like that, I would suggest that you just join with Jesus, receive his salvation offer through his blood contract, and then you'll be going with us in the rapture, and you can have a cool new body to start this whole millennium with. But we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
God God is at work in your life. The problem is that we are too distracted by temporary things to see the big picture of what God is doing both in our life and in the world around us. God has called each of us to follow Him. What does that look like, and how do I do it well? We answer that question in our daily choices. My name is Norman Smith, and Run With Horses is a show dedicated to helping you thrive as a follower of Jesus. It is my goal to follow Jesus and pursue His work in my life with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're like me, you know that the journey isn't easy, and we do it better together. Join me on Revelation Radio for an hour of conversation and encouragement to keep on when times are tough. You can find Run With Horses on Revelation Radio at our new time each Saturday night from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. beginning November 4th. Keep running.
Well, look at that. We made it back.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, where were we? We were talking about all sorts of fun stuff.
Well,
like the new bodies we're going to get, right?
Yeah, well, the new body thing is great, but let's go back.
I certainly don't want to be like a dog-headed person like those Egyptians.
Yeah. Yeah, I always wondered where they came up with all those things, and you kind of explained it there in the first half. Do you think that that was really the case? Do you think that things look like that?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, they just randomly made that? No, Egypt was bad. How do you think they moved all them blocks? Everyone says, men with copper tools. You weren't there. You don't know that that's all they had is copper tools. Okay? I can tell you this. What I suspect is not only were they much bigger and they had some Nephilim there working this stuff, but they had technology that we don't have today. You can use sound resonance and basically counteract gravity. So you don't just eliminate gravity, but it's an equal and opposite force, similar to lift, the way we fly, but you got to be moving for lift. But they had sound waves, and if you had the right sound waves, then things would float. I mean, you can see them now with a super cooled ceramic thing. You can just, it'll float on top of a magnet. It's
got
to be
I've got a deal like that here at the house. We've got Anita's a huge Cowboys fan, so you know, you got the Cowboys helmet, and it's got a magnet above it and a magnet below it, and it spins. You know, it's really cool.
Yeah. So we could do that with magnets. They probably knew how to do it better with sound waves and manipulation like that. So that's an easy thing to figure it out. What they think is like Peter said in 2 Peter, he's like, you know, you think all these people were stupid back then. No, they were way smarter than we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Way smarter. There's postulation that they even got out to Mars. You know,
maybe that's where those buildings that aren't supposed to be there came from. You know,
they were confined to the Earth because they were bad. God said, "Okay, now you're stuck here," and they were trying to get out into the heavenlies, which is what Babel is. People think, "Oh, they're trying to build a tower to heaven." Mm. No, they built a tower like unto the heavenlies because they were trying to line up all the stars and line up all the configurations so they can create a transporter beam kind of a thing. You know, Gene Roddenberry had some insight on
that. Yeah. Got to beam me up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So there is speculation by some that they actually went to Mars and because they found like a little pyramid on there and then a face and some buildings. It's like, well, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I mean, you know, you never know. You don't know. We weren't around.
I wasn't, but I wouldn't be surprised. And we're going to find out soon anyway. When we get home, hey, let's go over to Mars, Jamie, and see what's up. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, look at that. They were here, which is why God brought them all back and said, okay, you're done. You're not going to get up into the heavens. I told you that.
Mm-hmm.
So once they started to eat everybody, they all ate each other, and then they're all trying to get off into the heavens, and it's like, no, not going to happen. So, all right. So Cain's second son was Irad. Now, this speaks to it, too, because Enoch, you know, we see that, and he's building the city. Now, Irad, his name means fugitive or actually wild ass.
Okay.
Okay. That's what his name means. Mm. And it implies like his nomadic nature. Okay. That he would just, wandering, you know, is wandering or even rebellion. He's just wandering around, and that symbolizes rebellion because you don't have any guidance. Mm-hmm. You know, as ambassadors for Christ, we have a, here are your marching orders. Bing, 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 bing. Mm-hmm. But now he's out there just wandering around like a wild donkey, you know? Okay. What do I do? I don't know. Jump off a cliff. So it's basically like a reminder. And then when you talk about, you know, in the other books, the Apocrypha, it's lots of Jewish traditions. And they use him as a sign of instability or wandering. And he represents humanity's continually moving away from God's order. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it was nomadic. So when they see the nomadic people out there, then, you know, they're like, okay, this is just man wandering here.
Mm-hmm.
But then later we see Abraham, who was wandering because he said, this is not my home. You know, I long for a city that's not here. So he represents, hey, here, we're just wandering around here, but we're going to go to the city, which is home, which is the New Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how he got a pearl that big to make a whole entry gate into the temple of one pearl.
Yeah, that's...
That's got to be some clam.
Yes, it does. I mean, that's a scary clam is what that is.
Yeah.
That'd be a monster. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's an actual pearl like what we think. I mean, I have no reason to believe otherwise, but
yeah,
that's a good question. See, I got to put that in my book with the how many fruits are there and questions when you get to heaven. How big was the clam that made this pearl? Where is it?
Yeah, it's amazing the fact that we are going to know all these answers at some point,
right?
You know, that's the amazing part of it to me.
Maybe I'll do a show just on those questions one day.
That would be cool. Yeah, that would be cool.
And will I glow in the dark? All right. So according to the rabbis, it symbolizes humanity's struggle with moral restraint.
Mm.
That's what they say. Okay, that's Irad.
Okay.
So we're seeing a picture starting to take shape here of why his descendants are listed.
Mm. Okay.
You're doing all this technological stuff, trying to do it, bring it on yourself. Okay. He built a city. Now it's just wandering because you're doing it without God. You're restricting a moral restraint. So he's that. And then there's Mahujael, and that's Irad's son. So you got Enoch, Irad, and then Mahujael. And didn't he have any other kids?
How come all this is in the Jubilees, right? This isn't in Genesis.
All these are in Genesis. They're all named in Genesis. There's insights in Jubilees. But we see it in Genesis. And then what some people think, oh, that's, you know, Methuselah and this and that. No, different one, different batch. Enoch, oh, there's Enoch. No, different batch. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Lamech, different Lamech.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting to see that they both have those lineages in there, but they're in a little different order and they mean different things. But Mahujael means smitten by God. Or God makes alive, and it hints at the awareness of divine intervention and judgment in human life. Okay, so his name basically reflects duality, both the acknowledgement of God's power and perhaps the ongoing tension between Cain's line and God. Okay, kind of both. So God smacks him in the head. Now you know God's alive. Okay, all right, I see it. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Gotcha.
Sorry, okay. That's how I think. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I'm with you.
And then there's those, again, you know, the rabbis, they see it as the struggle between human autonomy and divine influence.
Hmm.
And the divine influence basically guides us or restricts our actions. Okay.
Okay.
And then in the Apocrypha, different books, it says one who calls on God. And that has dual implication in the ancient writings as well. So it's some of them suggest that he was cursed and his life serves as a reminder of divine judgment. Mm-hmm. And others interpret his name to mean one who recognizes God's sovereignty. Okay.
And so which do you think fits better?
You know what? It's Hebrew. And it's the ancient Hebrew probably has all of that. But we think in Western thought, as it were, where the old Eastern thought is, it's all a big picture. Okay, it symbolizes this. When we see the Aleph, it's the letter, what we know as an A, but the Aleph, the ancient one, is an ox head. Mm-hmm. Well, what does an ox head mean? Well, it symbolizes strength. Mm-hmm. It symbolizes the beginning. It symbolizes the peak. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of things that are built into it because they're made in pictograms.
Yeah.
Okay. Like if you do a Chinese, they got like 80 billion characters or something like that. And each one has a different meaning because it's a picture. It's a word picture, puzzle.
Okay.
You know? And so I think it's probably all of the above, and there's people just picking out different aspects of it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense, right. Because there's, Yeah, that makes sense.
We just have that Western, Greek mentality. This is it.
It's got to be one or the other.
Very precise.
One or the other.
Like if I say you heteros or allos in Greek, they both mean, can I have another one? So if I, let's say I got this pen here. Here's this nice pen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can say, hey, can I have another pen? Mm-hmm. And you got two different ways to think about that.
Yeah.
You got
add two or change out.
Can I have another pen that's exactly like this one because I love it so much? Mm-hmm. Or can I have another pen because this one sucks and I need a different one?
Right. Yeah, I got you. That's a great analogy.
Two different words in the Greek. Yeah. And we have a Greek mentality. It must mean this.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Hebrew doesn't do that. It means all of it.
Okay. Makes sense.
Okay. So we just had... When we're reading the Old Testament, we just have to think that way. If you really want precise meanings, look to the Septuagint, which was translated into the Greek, and there was 70 of them that did it. So you probably got a good idea of what it meant. And then all the New Testament characters that we see, they basically quote it out of the Septuagint, which is the Greek version, if you read it. Because if you translate it from the Hebrew, it has a little bit different meaning. But then the Greek is like really pinpointed. No, this is what it meant.
Okay.
So if they're quoting a verse in the New Testament, it's most likely the Septuagint.
Okay.
Now, which is the Greek version of their Bible back then.
Okay. So if somebody was going about the business of trying to do the translation thing, would you rely on the Greek more than you would any other?
I would look at the Hebrew, and then, obviously there was 70 of them, and they were a lot smarter in Hebrew than I was. I would try and figure out what the Septuagint says and why it says that.
Okay.
Because if it's different than our thought process, that's something that we need to look at then.
Mm.
Why did they think of it that way? And I would heavily lean in that direction just because they know Hebrew and Greek.
Yeah,
and
okay.
We speak modern day English.
Like I said, just an off-the-wall question. You know me, David. I got to ask it. Go ahead.
And they certainly don't speak Texan, so.
No y'alls in the Bible.
It's all y'all. All y'all's going to die.
Y'all better get saved when you got the chance.
Yeah. Yeah, you're finna go to hell.
Your southern accent's getting better and better all the time. I must be.
Oh man, sorry, all you southerners.
Well, hey, we've got to have a little bit of fun on this show. We have to. Especially with you, David. I gotta have some fun.
We have to. All right. So. Mahujael, so here's another interpretation, one who recognizes God's sovereignty, implying a vague remembrance of God's authority in Cain's line, even if they lived outside his blessing. Mm-hmm. So So the combination of divine punishment and of faint reverence for God's power can be seen as symbolic of the inner conflict of Cain's descendants. And I got to say, that's the majority of the churches that we see today, from the Catholic one to all the mainline Protestant denominations, and even into some of the cult ones. It's like it's a vain, you know, everyone, when things get rough, then they go, oh, okay, let's be reverent and pray. And then they're out in the world doing whatever.
Yeah, forget about it.
They don't care about God at all, right. Unless it's time to say grace for dinner, or, you know, just like this little, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, let's just give him a cookie, because he's, you know, he's a good God, let's give him a cookie.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, you know, so it's really just a, you know, so they know God exists, but they're not really serving him.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called church.
Which I'm sure if he was, if he's Cain's grandson, he's probably not going to go along the evolution line. It's like, yeah, no, you don't get it. There's your great-grandfather, all right? He was made directly by God. Mm-hmm. He's right there. It's Adam. Yeah. Look, there's no evolution here.
Yeah.
So he wasn't going down that road, but he wasn't living for God.
Right, right. And that's what a lot of so-called Christians do, you know?
Yeah, for the most part. That's why he said, you know, didn't I do this and didn't I do that? They go, who are you? Mm-hmm. I didn't know you.
Right.
I don't know you. Yeah. Those are scary words. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's terrifying is what it is.
Yeah. You think your whole life you're being, oh, I'm good. I earned my way into heaven. I'm being good.
Yeah.
You know, I served in the soup kitchen.
Yeah. The eternal shock. Oh, goodness. I don't want to think about it. It's awful.
All right. So Methushael. All right, similar to Methuselah, okay, what is here, Methushael is a name, basically it means man of God or one who is of God. Does that make sense? Someone who's of God. It might seem unexpected for this line, but it was marked by a separation from God, suggesting either a recognition of God's role or an aspiration for a spiritual identity. Probably the latter, right? So he's like, okay, I want to be this man of God, like Austin 3:16. You know, you know what I mean? It's like hijacking verse number.
Yeah. The first time I saw that, I was like, that's not good.
Really? You're gonna wrestle with God now?
I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it. Only one person that I know of did that and made it.
Yeah, and he walked funny for the rest of his life. So basically, it's a generational distance from Adam's righteous line. And so there's, again, a lingering awareness of God's presence and wanting to get back. So it looks like maybe he was saying, hey, like I was, you know, my parents weren't saved when I was growing up. But somehow God called me, and I wanted to get back to, you know, knowing who he was.
Well, no, that is a perfect example of what we talk about on the show all the time, that anybody can be saved and that God makes his presence known some way or another. Because that was one thing that always bothered me, and this isn't the show to go into it, but, you know, all of the people out in, you know, I'm using a country here, Africa, that have never, ever had any contact whatsoever with any Christian. You know, I'm talking about all these, you know what I mean. You know, what kind of chance do they have? Like I said, this isn't the show to talk about that, because I know that's a really deep subject. But, you know, it's something that's always been out there. But the thing is that God will make his presence known to everybody. Everybody has the chance to know enough to be saved, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I was just verifying that.
They do. That's what Romans 1 says. Like, you could just look at creation and know there's a creator and know that you've failed.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what he said. So, and people use that argument with me a lot. Oh, does that mean that, you know, those people that never heard of Jesus, they can't be saved? It's like, no, I never said that. Well, that's not right. So, you know, Jesus can't be God because some people never heard of him. No, they know from his creation. Mm-hmm. And he clearly says that. They may not know his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, mm-hmm. or Jesus as we know in English. They mm-hmm. they may not know that, but they know he's there and they know who he is. They just don't know what you call him.
Right. Right. There you go. That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they do. And there's they 100% do. And I 100% believe there will be people who never actually heard the gospel, but because it's written in creation and God is merciful and loving, if their heart is right and mm-hmm. they want to receive him and they repent, even though they don't know the name, mm-hmm. they still repented.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what are you going to say? A baby who doesn't understand any language is not saved? I mean, come on.
Mm. Yeah, we both know better than that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, even King David said that. He said, my son died at the first son before Solomon. Mm-hmm. He's a little baby. He died. He says, well, he won't come back here, but I'll go see him.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
And he couldn't talk. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All good stories from when we get there, if we ever do, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll get there. So.
Well, I'm just going by the fact the rapture could happen at any time, and
we'll continue in the millennium.
Okay.
It's Thursday again. All right. So some of the mystical books, which I don't really believe in, but some of them say that Methushael, he tried to understand the divine, but he never fully embraced it. And then he went back to his materialistic pursuits. Mm. I don't know about that. You know, anything from a mystical book, it may have some hint at truth, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't trust it. Mm-hmm. Okay, like 2nd and 3rd Enoch, I wouldn't really trust them too much. Mm. Okay, but they do give you insight to some things. Like, here's one that was really cool. In I think it's 2nd Enoch. It says that the seventh from Adam, he was raptured on his birthday.
Mm.
So the Jews for years, they're like, they have this thing. Okay, Enoch was raptured on his birthday, but no one really knew where it came from. And then one day I was reading the 2nd Enoch. I said, well, this is really weird. And then I came across that, and he was raptured. He was taken up to heaven on the same day of his birth. Oh, that's where they got it. Okay. Okay. So if that it might have an inkling in truth, which is why some people think that the rapture will take place on Pentecost. Because that was the birthday of the church. And it was actually Pentecost is when Enoch was born.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same day on a calendar, and he was taken up on Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And the church was born on Pentecost, and he's symbolic of the church back then. So it's interesting to see these things, but you know, they do get way out in left field if you like baseball. And then it was Lamech. Okay, he was the son of Methushael, and he stands out because he was the first one that had two wives that we know of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, or polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that's an interesting, let me jump on this. So polygamy, right?
Right. Okay.
And then we know monogamy or monogamy. Mm-hmm. So polygamy is many marriages. Monogamy is one marriage, monogamy and polygamy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we get pergamy or Pergamos. Is one of the churches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is a perverted marriage.
That's what I was going to say. That sounds like, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Pergamos or Pergamos is a perverted marriage. That's where we get the word from, pervert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the marriage. And that is the mixing, and that's what we see in Catholicism. They mixed the pagan religions with Constantine and mixed it with the church. That's why we see a perverted marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called Pergamos.
Okay. Would that also, and again, we're not on YouTube anymore, thank God. So would that also account for the gay marriage now?
Yeah, I mean, anything is perverted. That's,
okay.
You know, it all fits in there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted. I think it's important to say things like that, even though we don't intentionally reach out to offend anybody, but it is our job, it's our duty as Christians to point out what God doesn't like, and I can assure you, He does not like gay marriage.
Well, that's not what He designed, so it's perverted because He's like that's going to kill you. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not telling you because he's, you know, mad at you or hates you. He's telling you he loves you. And he says, that's not the way I designed it. It's not going to work. It will kill you.
Right.
That's what abomination means. It's, you know, basically going your own way instead of what God said.
Right.
As if you somehow wrote the operator's manual for all of creation and you think you know better than God.
Yeah.
You know? Duh. But that's why he said that, because he loves you. Well, right. We're equal opportunity offenders as well. We'll have something to offend everyone.
Oh, yeah. I'll think of something for everybody.
Some of the on our show. We love them all, and we've offended a few. Yeah, and we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to, but what's interesting is I think we'll get into this next week because it's going to take a little bit, but basically he says because he accidentally killed a guy, all right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it tells a whole story, I think, in Jubilees. Again, it tells the whole story. They were out hunting, and he shot, and he killed the guy, and it was by accident, and he was really upset because no one's been killed before, right? You think Adam was the first one to die? No, it is. Apparently, this guy was. Unless I got to get the timing on. They really don't have the years on here.
Right.
So I got to get the timing and see if that was after Adam. Don't know. Well, that remind me to look into that.
Okay.
But basically, all right, he says if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then surely Lamech 77-fold. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Now here he's got a vengeance of 70 times 7, which is why we see through the Torah, if Israel doesn't repent, then it's a sevenfold judgment. And then you see the 70 years and you see all of this terminology, which is why Jesus in Matthew talks about, you know, if he's avenged seven, you know, how many times should I forgive my brother? Mm-hmm. That's what he's going back to.
Yeah.
Now he's saying now there's 70 times 7 of forgiveness rather than vengeance.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll really dig into that next week because we're out of time.
Yeah. It always goes quick. You know, these shows always go quick. And
all right. Well, if you could encourage people for 70 times 7. So we go out. That would be great.
Yeah. Well, all I want to do is let you guys know that the rapture is going to happen at any time. And I'm not going to harp on that. Instead, I'm going to say, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet, please do. It only takes a second. God listens to your heart. You don't have to practice any words. Just let him know, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ is your son. And I want to follow him. And please save me. And just say that in the name of Jesus Christ and mean it from your heart. And I promise you that you're not going to have to worry about tribulation. You're going to have to worry about rapture. You're going to be a part of that. But you will be saved. And you're not going to have to worry about it anymore. And you're going to notice right away a huge change because you become a new creation. And we'll talk about that too in a future show. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter if you're an independent. The only thing that really matters is getting news that is correct. And you can only do that from the perspective of what God believes. If you want the real news and look at it from the lens of current events, tune in to The Last Christian every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net.